बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन नंदन। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन नंदन। जामुना तीरावन चारी। जामुन तीरावन चारी। जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। Jayamstapad Paramahansa, Parujakacharya Ashtotar, the Dishri Srimad of Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Jai, Iskan BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jai, Jayamstapad Paramahansa, Parujakacharya Ashtotar, the Dishri Srimad of Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Kuntarashimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya. Narancha vinarottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirit. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadev, the author, unto Srila Prabhupada, the inspirer, and to his disciples who have translated and commented on this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtaki. So we're going to start on 14 and I believe go through 18. Does anyone know for sure? 18, okay. On this 28th day of March 2019 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Canto 12, The Age of Deterioration, Chapter 3, The Bhumi Gita, beginning text 14. Kata imaste katita mahiyasam. Pitaya lokeshu yashak pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti. Ladies? Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. Katahi Maste Katita Mahiyasam. Pitaya Lokeshu Yashak Pareyusham. Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. Vacho Vibhuti Natu Paramatyam. So I'll read through the synonyms. You can read along on the screen. Kata, the narrations. Ima, these. Te, unto you. Katita, have been spoken. Mahiyasam, of great kings. Vitaya, spreading. Lokeshu, throughout all the worlds. Yashaha, their fame. Pareyusham, who have departed. Vijnana, transcendental knowledge, vairagya, and renunciation. Vivakshaya, with the desire for teaching. Vibho, almighty Parikshit. Vachaha, of words. Vibhutihi, the decoration. Na, not to, but parama artyam, of the most essential purport. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, almighty Parikshit, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. Purport. Since all the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam bring the reader to the perfection of transcendental knowledge, they all give supreme spiritual lessons, though apparently dealing with kings or other mundane subject matter. In relation with Krishna, all ordinary topics become transcendental narrations, with the power to bring the reader to the perfection of life. So we'll chant 15. Yastuttamak shloka gunanuvada Krishnam amangalagna Tameva nityam shunuyara bhikshnam Krishne maram bhaktim abhipsamanaha. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotees should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day. Purport. Since any topic related to Lord Krishna is auspicious and transcendental, the direct narration of Lord Krishna's own activities, political and non-political, is certainly the supreme subject matter for hearing. The word nityam here indicates regulated cultivation of the topics of Lord Krishna, and abhikshanam indicates constant remembrance of such regulated spiritual experiences. Text 16. Shri Rajo Vacha. Okay, let's chant together. Keno paina bhagavan kale doshan kalau janaha vidamsiyam kya pachitams tanme bruhi hitamane. King Pariksit said, my Lord, how can persons living in the age of Kali rid themselves of the cumulative contamination of this age? O great sage, please explain this to me. Purport. King Pariksit was a compassionate, saintly ruler. Thus, after hearing of the abominable qualities of the age of Kali, he naturally inquired as to how those born in this age can free themselves of its inherent contamination. Yugani yugadharmanscha manam palaya kalpayoho kalasye shudarupasya gatim vishno mahatmanaha. Please explain the different ages of universal history, the special qualities of each age, the duration of cosmic maintenance and destruction, and the movement of time, which is the direct representation of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. One more? Okay. Sri Shuka Uvacha Kute Pravartate Dharmas Chatuspatha Janagataha Satyam Dayatapo Danam Itipada Viborna. Chukadev Goswami said, my dear king, in the beginning, during Satya Yuga, the age of truth, religion is present with all four of its legs intact and is carefully maintained by the people of that age. These four legs of powerful religion are truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity. Purport. Just as there are four seasons, there are four ages of the earth, each lasting hundreds of thousands of years. The first of these is Satya Yuga, when such good qualities as charity are prominent. Actual charity, here referred to as dhanam, is to award fearlessness and freedom to others, not to give them some material means of temporary pleasure or relief. Any material charitable arrangement will inevitably be crushed by the onward march of time. Thus, only realization of one's eternal existence beyond the reach of time can make one fearless, and only freedom from material desire constitutes real freedom, for it enables one to escape the bondage of the laws of nature. Therefore, real charity is to help people revive their eternal spiritual consciousness. Religion is here referred to as Vibhu, the mighty, because universal religious principles are not different from the Supreme Lord himself and ultimately lead one to his kingdom. The qualities mentioned here, truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity, are universal, non-sectarian aspects of pious life. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth leg of religion is listed as cleanliness. You may have noticed that. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this is an alternative definition of the word dhanam in the present context. Om jnana timarandasya gyanandana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. Hare Krishna. So I want to leave a little bit of time to read a wonderful pastime about Srivas Thakur from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the death of his son in the middle of a kirtan and how Lord Chaitanya reacted to that. It's truly a wonderful pastime. So here we're hearing in this Bhumi Gita, we've heard in previous classes and previous verses, about the abominable characteristics of this age, that the leaders are generally going to be more or less demonic. They will torment the people, and it's going to get worse and worse. And in fact, we had a list of kings who were illusioned to think that they could dominate a portion of the earth or take over the whole earth, but eventually every one of them, by the force of time, was pulled off the stage, and their plans were ruined. Now, it's interesting that Shukadeva Goswami explains at the end here how, and he's going to continue to explain the different ages and how the religious principles decrease in each age. And this, I remember when I read this verse a few days ago, preparing for the class, I said, "Oh, how's this truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity?" We learned in the first canto in many verses about truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and cleanliness. And indeed, this is how they're listed in the first canto in an actual verse. But sure enough, this last sentence here about Vishnu Chakravarti giving this alternative definition for the word dana, it sounds, is that really true? And sure enough, it is. You look up in the Sanskrit dictionary, and one of the definitions of dana is purification. He explains the derivation according to, if you want to, I can give you the actual commentary translated by Banaswami. So, but charity is also one of the elements that decreases more and more. In fact, I was in this chapter, it's nice to go to the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and read how Krishna deals with these same subject matters. And he mentions there this idea of the demonic rulers, although they're really not charitable, and they like to look like they're charitable. And so they, mentioned here, Atma sambhavatak stabda dana mana madanvita yajante nama yagyaiste dambe navadi purvakam. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only without following any rules or regulations. So this idea is that yajante nama yagyaiste, they perform sacrifices in name only, they give charity in name only. This country is, just like you know about the public library system throughout the country, everyone takes it for granted in each town, village, and especially cities, is going to be public libraries. Now that was started back in the early 20th century with a big donation by, I think it was Carnegie, who was one of these big robber barons. I think he was King Cole, or was it railroads, I forget, one of the things. And nobody likes to be thought of as a big oppressive, you know, demon who just likes to make money, greedy. So he became, he said, okay, I'll open up public libraries throughout the country. And this is the way it started, and it's gone on ever since, which is good, but it's really in name only. In other words, it's to look good. That's what Dambe Navadi means. It means hypocritically performing them just so they look good. I like to tell this story when this comes up. Back in the early 60s, some of you may remember the Life magazine, then Life and Look, you remember? So one time Life magazine did a special on the mob, the Italian gangsters in the New York area. And they had this whole rogues gallery. I remember little pictures of them in the a big spread. That's all I remember of the article, but you can imagine what it was like. So I was looking at them, and none of them looked happy. You know, they all looked pretty angry. And, you know, you said, I don't want to be like that, right? So, but they like to go to church, right? A lot of them are Catholic, and they go to church every week, right? and they meet other gangsters there and, you know, do business on the side. So, but they don't want to just, they want to look religious. This is exactly what the demons are all about. And you see that today also, that the big leaders, they don't want to be thought of as demons, and so they'll have, perform some charity, or politics is all about that, how you look. I think it was that great sage Groucho Marx who said that to be a successful politician, you have to be sincere. Once you can fake that, you've got it made. It's right out of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is what we've been hearing these kings enumerated, but it's important that in the characteristic of the Bhagavatam, as we know, that it, as it said right at the beginning, Dharma Prochita Kaita Vota Padamonim Atsadanam Satam, it says in the second verse that in this Bhagavatam all the cheating dharmas are kicked out, and it simply is dedicated to giving you the absolute truth. Vastava Vastu. Vastava Vastu means the thing as it is, as it really is, the absolute truth as it is, and can be known by those who are non-envious, and it uproots the threefold miseries. And if you simply hear it with great attention, Prabhupada called it ardent hearing or submissive all reception. This is what he used to define the word shushusho. Shushusho means hearing with great attention, taking the knowledge in, and then acting on it. So shushusho also has the meaning of serving with great attention and devotion. So it describes, if you hear this Bhagavatam, which describes the absolute truth and the way to know it, the process of bhakti, one can have the Lord manifest in one's heart very quickly. So what's the need of any other scripture? What's the need of any other book? What's the need of the internet? Isn't it? There's so much Tower of Babel, so many things to be distracted by. So the descriptions of the kings here, he says, yeah, we gave you the list, but we're not going to go into great detail, because what really counts is the glorification of the Lord. When there's some relationship with Krishna, then it makes sense to hear. Why do we hear about Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha? Because they were both killed by the Lord in different forms, wonderful forms, right? Otherwise, there have been so many big demonic rulers, you don't hear about them, you shouldn't hear about them. And this is what we find today. There's a tremendous fascination with our present leader, isn't it? In fact, people are complaining every day. We have so many stories, what about all of the problems? What about the climate change? What about the economic inequality? All these other things. Completely dominates people's minds. So in Bhagavatam, we hear these things, just like in the Mahabharata, we hear about the Kurukshetra war, but ultimately it's described, but the real essence of it is the Bhagavad Gita. Right? That it was written by Vyasadeva, because he knew people in this age, we need stories. We really need stories to keep us at that. Just read the Vedanta Sutra, not so much to be able to understand that. But if you read Mahabharata, it's full with these amazing stories, and you're reading along, and suddenly there's these 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, and so you can get the transcendental knowledge. But even Mahabharata, we're encouraged. Vyasadeva was unsatisfied after writing Mahabharata, and so Narada Muni came, you have to write a book that wholly and solely deals with the Lord and his incarnations, the process of devotion, the glorious devotees, so, because that's what the people need in this age. And that's how the Bhagavatam came about, and this is our most important book for study. So that no matter what chapter you're in, even you're reading what canto, you're reading the fifth canto, yeah, there's all of this technical information about the universe and how it's set up and everything. But right in the middle, the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers, right? And now you're back to Om Namo Bhagavate Narasinghaya Namaste Jaste Jaste. Wonderful prayers of the different avatars. So it always brings you back to that. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, because it's there's the one of the verses here that we read, was that persons who deny pure devotional service should hear the narrations of Lord Uttama Shloka, his glorious qualities, constant chanting of which destroys every kind of auspicious. The devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day. So this is really what is a foundational principle of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I've been thinking, you think about how Srila Prabhupada eventually set it up, the morning program, It's full of hearing and chanting. And it's full of, he very much emphasized the need for the class in the morning. Morning and evening classes. At one point he said they should study, 3 hours a day. The leaders should study 4 hours a day. You know, not generally so possible today with all of the demands of management and other things we have to do. But certainly, as Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Instruction, that this association of devotees, the Sadhu Sangha, is the real essence of why he founded this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to nourish those six loving exchanges, which include Guhyamakati Pichati, which means hearing, sharing one's hearing, and this aspect of it. So I wanted to share with you, since you may not be completely familiar with this, at the almost the very end of the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, let me call this up. There's something that I hope I didn't commit an offense. I dubbed it the Krishna Katashtaka. It happens to be 8 verses, all about hearing and chanting. This is wrapping up, Sutta Goswami is wrapping up his whole recitation of Bhagavatam. This is his kind of his final instruction. And the first word is Sankirtan. Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta Shutanu Bhava Vasanang Hipungsam. I'll skip over some of the Sanskrit. But I'll just read this English, and you can see there's 3 verses that were spoken in the first canto, in the 5th chapter, essential verses, one of which Prabhupada chose as his ideal verse or his inspirational verse to put into his preface. When people properly glorify the Supreme Lord or simply hear about His power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. You hear the echo of Shinvatam, Sakatara Krishna. But on the other hand, it goes back and forth. You'll see Krishna and the great sages, they teach us with contrast. They often go, yeah, but on the other hand this, but on the other hand this. And in this way we can see the contrast. And so he says, next. On the other hand, those words describing the glories of the all-famous personality are attractive, relishable, and ever fresh. I'm sorry, I skipped some. On the other hand, words that do not describe the transcendental Lord, but instead deal with temporary matters, are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually truthful, auspicious, and pious. Those words describing the glories of the all-famous Lord are attractive, relishable, and ever-fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery. In all of the Bhagavatam, this is like one of the most glorious verses for glorifying the Lord. Tadeva ramyam ruchidang navang navang tadeva shashang manaso mahotsavam, festival for the mind. Tadeva shokarna vashoshanang nenang yaduttam ashloka yashonagiyate. On the other hand, nayad vachas chitta padang hare yasho jagat pavitram praganita karachit. Now there's a slight change here. Tadvangshatirtam natuhansa sevitam yatratyatastatta hisaravomala. This is the verse that begins Narada's instructions to Vyasadeva about writing the Bhagavatam in the 5th chapter, 1st canto. And Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, in his commentary, says these 3 verses, this one, the next one, the next one, are all repeated from the 5th chapter, 1st canto. They form like brackets for the Bhagavatam. That means they're really important verses to understand. So, on the other hand, those words that do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows, and are never resorted to by those situated in transcendental knowledge. The pure and saintly devotees take interest only in topics glorifying the infallible Supreme Lord. And the next verse is the one Prabhupada was inspired by, which he put into his preface. Even though he recognized and wrote in the Bhagavatam, my English is not so perfect, but this verse says, nevertheless, I'm going to write because it will be appreciated. Altogether, Tadn Bhagavasargo Janataga Samplavo Yasmin Patishlokama Bodhavatyapi Namanyanantasya Shankitani Yat Shinbanti Gayanti Gunanti Sarava. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, and so on of the unlimited Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Very key verse. Then the next one also is repeated. Knowledge of self-realization, though free from all material affinity. So this is about the impersonal followers. It doesn't look very well if devoid of conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of even the most properly performed fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the God or of the Lord? So this is describing the futility of the Karmakanda section, of all of these wonderful sacrifices that maybe take you to heaven. But then what happens? Chine punne mate lokam vishanti, you're back where you started from. It doesn't bring you toward God, but actually diverts you from the pure path. So this is an important verse also. And then there's two more, and it describes the great endeavor one undergoes in executing ordinary social religious duties, varnashram, in performing austerities, hearing from the Vedas, Karmakanda, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. Mundane means temporary, means that it's impermanent. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, one can remember his lotus feet. This avismriti, it means more than just remembrance, it means not forgetting. Remember that verse? What is that? Always remember the Lord, never forget him. These are the all other principles of the servants. No one can remember. It's slipping my mind now. What is it? Vismart, the Jatuchit, that's the second line. What's the first line? Sadatam Vishnu, Vismartam Najatuchit, Sarva Vidyashetu, Eti Erba Kinkada. Always remember Vishnu or Krishna and never forget him. All other principles that we practice, getting up in the morning, taking a shower, coming to mind, all these are servants of these two. Now, I remember when I first read this, I said, well, that seems kind of redundant, because, you know, of course my critical brain is thinking, isn't that redundant? How could it be redundant? It's a perfect verse. But I realized, no, there are so many things that we do to remember Krishna, chant Hare Krishna and everything, and so many things that we're not supposed to do that we know will make us forget Krishna. Both sides have to be there. We can be doing so many nice things to remember Krishna, but we're not careful about those things which help us forget Krishna, and then we'll not make such good advancement. So both things are there, the do's and the don'ts. And every principle of sadhana bhakti, notice there are so many do's and so many don'ts, right? Are geared toward this. So here he's saying, avismriti sridhatapada padmayo, that hearing, chanting about Krishna gives you remembrance and non-forgetfulness of his lotus feet. And this last verse, which is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his teachings, I read it in that Bhakti Vaibhava book, remembrance of Lord Krishna's, constant remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and awards the greatest good fortune. It purifies the heart, bestows devotion for the Supreme Lord, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. In other words, it brings perfection by coming to that point of constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. That's the foundation. So that's in every canto, every verse ultimately of the Bhagavatam, it's bringing us to this point. Of hopefully constant remembrance of the Lord and non-forgetfulness and enthusiasm to serve the Lord without any deviation. I'm sorry? I can give you that. Avismriti Krishna Padada Vindayo. It's not Sridharabhaya, it's now Krishna. Avismriti Krishna Padada Vindayo Chinotya Bhadrani Shasham Tanoti. This word sham, like in Shankara, means good fortune, welfare. Sham Tanoti Sattvasya Shuddhim Padamatma Bhaktim Jnanam Cha Vijnana Viraga Yuktam. Viraga Yuktam. Yuktam, yeah. So, this is this 12th canto that we're reading now, I think we've already experienced, is all lists of all the degradation of this age that's coming, that is going on right now and outside our window. And so, how to be protected by that? By Krishna consciousness. This is a zone of countervailing force against the degradational force of this Kali Yuga, where it's meant to be even more pure and more virtuous than the Sati Yuga. Because if everyone is really focused on serving Krishna, then we'll be empowered by Krishna to remain on the transcendental platform and to help others come onto the platform. That's the whole essence of the preaching movement Lord Chaitanya was giving. I was reading, I think I shared this with you before, or maybe another venue, that I was recently reading Lord Chaitanya began his South Indian tour and he came to the Kurma Brahman. You remember Kurma Brahman? And he wanted to leave. He wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya forbade him. He said, no, you stay in your position in family life. You chant Hare Krishna, purify. But whoever you meet, Yara Dekatayaka Krishna Upadesh, you give them the teachings of Krishna. And on my order, by this way, you become a guru and you deliver this land. This is how the movement can spread. This is how the movement has spread throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada took that instruction of Lord Chaitanya. He left Vrindavan, came to America, and undertook a miraculous, a long shot, impossible task. And he succeeded because he was empowered by Krishna and had all the blessings of the entire parampara. So we can also become empowered in our own little way and to plant the seed of faith in Krishna. Interest, at least enough interest to open the book and read and get Krishna Prabhupada's association where the real purification begins and come to the association of devotees and take prasadam, hear the holy name and become purified. It's real life. Otherwise, people are victimized more and more by this Kali Yuga. It's just right out in the open. And there's so many ways. I mean, is there going to be a viable environment, a habitat for human beings and then after 50 years? If they keep going in this way, the pollution, the methane's coming out, from the formerly what they call permafrost, it's not so permanent anymore, right? I mean, you don't have to do much research to find out all the things. And yet the leaders, here we're talking about the leaders, are so demonic that instead of trying to solve the problems, they're trying to convince the people that there's no problem. Or that it's 100 years from now, don't worry about it. You know? And you know who's really militant about this? The kids. There's a whole movement of young people, of course, 12, 14, 15. What are you doing? You're ruining our lives. We have no future anymore. You know? That's a fact. I mean, if they keep destroying the environment and making it so hellish. So they're trying to, get the elders to do something. But this movement is meant to be to help save the earth. How can it, how can people survive? It'll never happen on a material level. It's not going to happen simply on a political level. There has to be the change of heart. There has to be a widespread acceptance of finding one's delight and pleasure and hope and aspirations on the spiritual level. I mean, you see the great acharyas like the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath. They had what is considered multi-millions or even billions. Raghunath was unlimitedly wealthy. And they gave it up. Tuchavat. Tukvatuna Mashesha Mandala Patishe Ning Sada Tuchavat. Srinivasacharya writes. They had unlimited influence and wealth, and they gave it up as insignificant in a moment by the inspiration of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Took on the most menial and poverty-stricken form of life to help us. Ganesha ko karunaya kapina kantashana. Out of their compassion, writing books and building temples, And were they miserable? Prabhupada says in a lecture, I listen all the time, he says, if someone very wealthy suddenly becomes very poor, they can't live. He had experience, and we know the famous 30s, the stock market crash, people were jumping out of the buildings in Wall Street. Suddenly they had $10 million or $1 million in those days was a lot. And then it was all gone. I can't live. Bam, that killed me. But if you're born poor, But here they came from rich to poor, but they were gopi bhavata samatabda laharika lola magna mahur. They were diving in the ocean of gopi bhava, of the highest levels of service to Krishna, ecstatic bliss. But externally, they had less than nothing, right? So we can worship that platform, but we can also show how to live a simple life, but a completely satisfying life, because Krishna's in the center, and you can enjoy more and more unlimited varieties of transcendental pleasure, very, very simply, materially. So you don't have to be such a burden on this earth. The demons always want to take more and more. They have something called full spectrum dominance. Did you ever hear that? This is now the mantra for the military, the U.S. military. Full spectrum dominance. Not only the land and the sea and the air, but space too. We're going to take over space. Yeah. Can you? This is right out of the 16th chapter. The hubris. It's like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. You know, well, I mean, much worse than that. So it's madness. Nunam pramatta kurate vikarma. It's just madness. So we should be sane ourselves and show and try to continue this revolution. We just read about it in the misdirected lives of the civilization. So it's getting a little late. Are there some comments on this? I wanted to read this wonderful pastime from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Okay, we have the mic. Can someone do that? The ladies are fired up. Ragatmika first.
Thank you, Prabhu. I think the first purport you read mention of the political and non-political activities of Krishna are worthy of hearing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just curious, this word political, it seems to me to have a negative connotation, but maybe you can shed light on how we see it. What does political mean, really? And then in relation to this context here, political and non-political activities of Krishna.
Yeah, well, I mean, political to me means, in the broadest sense, the dealings amongst those who are leaders of society or want to be leaders of society. It means how are you making alliances and how are you administering, you know, and how are you dealing with different forces both within your domain and outside your domain and so forth. And you see, Krishna was right in the middle of that when he went to Dwarka. He would take part in the sabha. You know, you ever hear that? Where he's got all these 16,108 palaces, right, individually dealing with all those queens. And in the morning, he would get up and, as it's described in the Krishna book, he would meditate on himself. He would get out of bed, and Rukmini and the others were very upset about that. He'd get out early, early, and meditate on himself. We shouldn't meditate on ourselves, but Krishna meditated. And then he would go to the sabha, the parliament building, you know. And all of the 16,108 Krishnas would merge into one Krishna, and then he would walk to the sabha. And what was he doing there? He wasn't the king. Ugrasen is the king, and he would discuss how would he minister this and all this and that. So he's taking part, and especially with the Mahabharata, you know, the Kurukshetra war, it describes how he tried every effort to try to avoid the war, you know, and concede that. I mean, but they wouldn't give him even enough land, the Pandavas enough land to put a pin in, you know, all of these things. So this is what's described as Krishna's political dealings. And it's all auspicious because Krishna's in the center. But when you get involved in the material politics, it's a huge distraction, depressing. We had another question. Go ahead, Rod.
Yes. I'm just wondering, you were saying that there are 12 and 14-year-olds that are resisting this and exposing some of all of the all of the stuff that's going on with the earth changes and the... So who do they identify themselves as in any particular way so we can find them? children's books now lately.
I wouldn't say children's crusade, but there was a big strike out from school. Did you know about that? Of like great high school kids all over the country. And there was this one Swedish girl who addressed some assembly, very eloquent. She was 15 years old or something. And just like got on the case of all these elders and, you know, very eloquently, she's a star. The point is that they're starting to realize, you know, I remember when I was 15, I was aware of Vietnam War and all kinds of things, you know. And I was, you know, very upset about it. But here it's like, it's our lives that they're messing with, right? Our future. Because it's like 12 years, they're saying, if they don't do something about the heating up of the atmosphere by fossil fuels, then we pass the tipping point and all kinds of feedback loops. And it's going. In other words, what about our future? It's supposed to be that the elders will sacrifice for the benefit of the children. But people have become so crazy and demonic that they don't care. And all these ExxonMobil guys, I can name them, is that they knew about this runaway global warming back in the 80s, the early 80s. They have scientists, you know, they have paid the best scientists. And they said, look, the carbon dioxide is going to heat up the atmosphere. So what did they do? Did they formulate some kind of plan to counteract it? No. They formed out a plan to pay off other scientists to write papers to convince people, well, it really isn't true. You know. In other words, it was like a whole conspiracy. Demonic, totally demonic. What's the end? So we can make more money. The guys who were around in 83 or 84 are long gone, you know, and other guys have played, you know, taken their place. This is the Rakshasas running it. I would call on you, but I want to read this pastime, and it's going to take a while.
The actual people who support the opposed global warming are Christian conservatives.
Oh boy, I don't want to go there.
You know? So they, and because they believe in God, they think that and that man has stewardship of this world given to them as human beings, that God will take care of it. They are the biggest supporters of the anti-global warming initiative.
Okay, we'll put that.
So them along with your demons who run.
We'll deal with that next time. Okay, I want to. This is going to take a little time. This is Srivas Thakur's the pastime. Where his son died in the middle of a kirtan. Many of you may have heard that. I don't know if you've heard this detailed account from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it reveals his incredible devotion to Lord Chaitanya, his love for him, Lord Chaitanya's love for Shiva Thakur, and it's quite an amazing pastime. I think it's suitable for this day, celebrating his appearance day. So here is Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, I'll just read the English translations here. So he writes, I am unable to describe the glories of Shivas's good fortune. There is no end to the good fortune of even his servants and maidservants. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So he writes, one day, as the Lord was dancing, now, you know, the whole Sankirtan movement began in the house of Shivas Thakur. It's called Shivas Angan. When you go to Mayapur, it's a short walk and you can visit that. It's one of the main places of pilgrimage there in that dharam. One day, as the Lord was dancing in the house of Shivas, the devotees headed by Shivas happily engaged in Sankirtan. By the arrangement of Providence, the ladies watched the son, one of Srivas Thakur's son, leave his body because of some disease. As Sri Shachinandan was dancing in ecstasy, the sound of crying filled the house of Shivas. Shivas Pandit therefore immediately went inside the room and found that his son had left his body. Being most sober and conversant with the intricacies of spiritual science, Shivas began to solace the ladies. Quote, you all know the glories of Krishna. Control your crying and pacify your minds. A person who even once hears the name of Krishna at the time of death attains the abode of Krishna, even if he is most sinful. That Lord is now personally dancing here, and his servants, headed by Brahma, are glorifying his qualities. Is it proper to lament for a person who leaves his body at such a time? If I can ever become as fortunate as this child, I will consider my life successful. If you cannot check these familial emotions, then at least cry to your satisfaction later. You didn't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya's mood. Don't let anyone else hear about this incident, otherwise the Lord's happiness from dancing will be disturbed. If by hearing your commotion, the Lord regains his external consciousness, then I will certainly drown myself today in the Ganges. After hearing Shivas' words, the ladies became pacified. Shivas then returned to the Lord's Sankirtan. Okay. Sorry. As Shivas participated with great ecstasy in the Sankirtan, his exceptional happiness repeatedly increased. Such are the glories of Shivas Pandit, who was the most qualified among Lord Chaitanya's associates. Imagine that. His son died, and yet he was able to get into the kirtan and be ecstatic. Gaurachandra danced in his own ecstatic mood. After some time, he and the devotees stopped the kirtan. Gradually, word spread among the devotees that Shiva's pandit's son had departed for Vaikuntha. Still, no one disclosed this news to the Lord. They all kept their feelings of distress in their hearts. Sri Gaurasundar, the quest jewel of omniscient persons, placed a question before everyone present there. He said, "I can't explain how I feel today. Has some distress entered the house of Shivas?" So he knew. Shivas Pandit replied, "O Lord, what distress could I have when your pleasing lotus face is present at my house?" Eventually, the devotees informed the Lord what had happened to Shivas Pandit's son. The Lord gravely asked, "How long ago did this happen?" He was then informed that the incident occurred early in the evening. Fearing that your ecstasy would be disturbed, Shrinivas or Shivas did not inform anyone about this. "It is nearly 7.5 hours since the child left his body. Now please give us permission to perform the last rites." Upon hearing about Shivas' wonderful activities, the Lord remembered Govinda. He said, "How will I give up such association?" Speaking these words, Mahaprabhu began to cry. "How will I give up the association of one who did not lament for his son out of love for me?" After speaking this way, Mahaprabhu cried profusely. The devotees became thoughtful upon hearing him speak of renunciation. So what was he talking about? I mean, he was a householder, he was there in Navadvipa. What does he have to give up his association for? So that's the puzzle here. And the devotees discussed among themselves, but they could not understand when such a calamity would occur. They concluded that the Lord sighed deeply and cried loudly because he would eventually leave household life and accept sannyas. So they figured it out. When the Lord became somewhat pacified upon seeing the child, he prepared to take the child for performing his last rites. The Lord then asked the dead child, "Why are you leaving Srivas's house?" The child replied, "O Lord, this is the destiny arranged by you. Who has the power to change it?" All the devotees were struck with wonder to hear the dead child reply to the Lord's question. The child said, "I stayed and enjoyed as long as I was destined to live, as long as I was destined to live in this body. That destined time is now completed, so I cannot remain longer. Now I am going to another predestined body. My destined time in this body is finished, so I cannot stay. Be merciful so that I may not forget you. O Lord, who is anyone's father and who is anyone's son? Everyone enjoys the fruits of his own karma. As long as I had the good fortune, I lived at the house of Shivas. Now I am going to the house of someone else. I offer my obeisances at the feet of you and your associates. Please do not consider my offenses. I am leaving now." After speaking this way, the child's body became silent. Such are the wonderful pastimes of Lord Gauranga. After hearing those extraordinary topics from the mouth of the dead child, the devotees all floated in an ocean of bliss. Srivas's family members forgot their lamentation and distress for their child and became agitated in ecstatic love for Krishna. In their ecstatic love, Srivas and his family members caught hold of the Lord's feet and began to cry. "Birth after birth, you are our father, our mother, our son and master. May we never forget your lotus feet. O Lord, it does not matter where we take birth, but may we always have loving devotion for your lotus feet." As the four brothers offered, so this is Srinivas and his brothers, as the four brothers offered humble words at the Lord's lotus feet, the devotees in the four directions began to cry loudly. The sound of crying and ecstatic love for Krishna arose in the four directions as the entire house of Shivas became filled with love of Krishna. The Lord said, "Listen, Shivas Pandit, you know well the nature of material existence. The miseries of material existence do not affect you. Even one who sees you is not affected by such miseries. Nityananda and I are your two sons, so you should no longer feel any grief in your heart." On hearing these most compassionate words from the lotus mouth of the Lord, the devotees in the four directions chanted, "Jai Jai! Oh, glorious to Srila Prabhupada! Oh, glorious to Shivas Thakur! Hari Hari Bol!" And that ends our session for today.